for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, July the 4th, 2002. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the afternoon.
So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you've made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we bind now in the name of Jesus, we come against powers of darkness. In the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit in the name of Jesus Christ and any interference in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask now that you bring forth that which you want us to share in Jesus' name. And Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And amen. You know, I started praying and I caught myself. Now, I didn't hit on this yesterday, so I'm going to stop right now and share this. When you pray, you know, we pray, we're talking to God, right? But when we're doing warfare, we're talking to the devil. And a lot of times we get them mixed. You know, I think it's important to, when we pray and to pray, and then when we start doing warfare, we go against the enemy and let him know the who, you know, and not mix our prayer and our warfare up, because sometimes we'll be binding and talking to the Lord or asking the Lord. You know, I heard somebody asking the Lord to bind, but you know, that's not scriptural. Scripture says it's whatsoever you bind. And so we do the binding. Okay. Well, I'll tell you where I'm going to start this afternoon. I told y'all I'd pick up on some of that we did yesterday. But let's go to Exodus and start with Exodus 20 and just start with the sins of the fathers. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. Then God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You know, when we got saved, he brought us out of the world, out of Egypt, and out of bondage. And so he's talking to us here, and he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Did you ever really listen to that? Let me go back and say, yeah, in the water. It's talking about if it's in the water. God said we're not to make any images, and I'm just fanatic enough to believe that. Yeah. And I get into more trouble when I talk about this, because I don't like pictures made of me. I don't make pictures, photographs. You say, why not? Well, they're images, aren't they? And I've shared this before, so I'll share it with you now. The Lord talked to me about my altar in my house. Did you ever have an altar in your house and didn't know it? Where I lived, I had a big old antique table. It wasn't in a hall, but it was almost like a hall, because there was a stairs went up, you know, above, right close to where I had the table, and under the stairs was the closet. So I had this sitting there, and I had a lamp on it. And I had all my grandkids on that table, pictures of them, okay? And one day the Lord began to talk to me when I was reading this another scripture in Deuteronomy that talks about graven images, you know, making, you know, but God didn't let Moses see him, and he said he let him see his backside, and if he had, somebody would have gone and made an image. Probably that's the way we are. But the Lord told me, he said, you got an altar in your house. And I said, oh, no, Lord, not me. I wouldn't have an altar. I know better than that. And he said, well, you have, and you always point it out when people come in. Look at my grandkids. You see my grandkids? Aren't they precious? I was worshiping my grandkids. And so I took them down and put them off the table and put them in a drawer. And then that wasn't bad enough in the other, in one of my bedrooms that we didn't use. It's just Jim and I. One of the bedrooms I had, you know, in the four walls, I had four kids. And each wall had all the pictures of my sons and their wives and their kids, you know. So I took all those down. So what I'm saying is this scripture here tells us that we're not to make images. So you asked, someone was asking yesterday about the figurines and things. This, you know, this, I told y'all I was way out, that they're images. And I don't want them in my house because I never know who made them or, you know. You know, the little whatnots or curio cabinets that people have, and if you bring things in, you really need to look at them and see, you know, see where they were made and break any curses over them. But he said we're not to have any images of anything in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for the Lord thy God am a jealous God, and this is what the scripture I was really coming to, this and the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And you know, when we keep God's commandments, he says he shows us mercy, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So, anyways, I wanted to get two. I've got you two scriptures I want to give you on the sins of the fathers being visited on the children. So, over in Exodus 34, I got this new Bible. I can't find anything in it. I had to really get down and kind of mark it up this morning so I could find it. My daughter sent me a giant print Bible, and I thoroughly enjoy it. And when I get it all marked up. But in Exodus 34 and verse 6, it said, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant goodness and truth, and keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins, that will by no means clear the guilty, this and the iniquity of the fathers upon their children, upon the children's children, to the third and to the fourth generation. Now, I gave you this. I'm going to take you over to Ezekiel. I don't know if you remember yesterday I was talking to you about no one ever has talked, shared. I had never heard anyone on Ezekiel on the sins of the mothers. Let's go look at a scripture over in Ezekiel. Sins of the mother says the daughters like the mother. And Ezekiel 16 and verse 44 says, behold, everyone that uses proverb shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. You ever heard people say she's just like her mother? She's got ways just like her mother. And I had never seen this scripture, had never heard anybody use it, talking about why we're like our mothers. They always talk about the sins of the fathers, but the Lord began to show me that the mothers are with the children more than the fathers are, and therefore the children pick up so many of the things of the mother. And we've never done it, thought anything about it. Let's read a little bit more on that. Ezekiel 16, verse 44 and verse 45 says, thou art thy mother's daughter. Now this scripture talks about that loatheth her husband. Here we get hate of men and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sister, which loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite, and thine elder sister Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and the younger sister that dwelleth at the right hand is Sodom and her daughters. And I realize we're talking about countries, cities in Israel and in Jerusalem and over in that area, but what I'm talking about here, I don't know where they are right now, got my mind's going another direction. But what I'm talking about is every one of these cities and names that are mentioned here. Look at Sodom. We see homosexuality from Sodom. And you see lust and all of these things that have come through, can come through them. I see it as coming through the mother. And this is, especially as the Lord began to show this to me, I began to break soul ties between me and my daughters and my children, my granddaughters, and to free them from the curses of my sins. You see, we talk about the sins of the fathers, but how about yours and mine? We were with the children when they were small, and we're bringing them up. So I wanted to give this to you because I mentioned it yesterday. But verse 47 says, "Yet thou hast not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou was corrupted more than they in all thy ways." And it shows that God, some of the things that God's talking about here was an abomination to God. Okay? Okay. Let's go over to Proverbs. Now we're going to get into some of the things we want to talk about. I just want to give you that scripture because I had mentioned it yesterday. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32, let's look at the adultery. We had two or three prayer requests about men that are left wives this morning and were living in adultery. Scripture says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound in dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away." So adultery is another way that the soul is destroyed. You know, yesterday we were talking about upstairs about soul ties, through sex. And so adultery destroys the soul, and the scripture says that it causes a wound and dishonor and reproach. And the scripture says it shall not be wiped away. So adultery needs to be repented of as sin. It is sin, and then break that evil soul tie. And we got some young girls here. Let's teach them early. Don't get involved with a man and have sex with him except your husband. Because I tell you this, that I was praying against those prayer requests we got a while ago. The woman's husband that's living with another woman. Well, every man that she slept with, this woman that he's living with, they're getting soul ties there. Think about it. When the Lord first showed me about soul ties, and I'm not going to teach them soul ties, but I'm going to say this because adultery, God, is an abomination to God. And if you pray for someone that has been in adultery, be sure you break all these ungodly soul ties. And just ask the Father to destroy all the soul ties of the person that had committed the adultery. Like if this man, when he goes back to his wife, he'll come back with all the garbage he picked up while he was out. And so when you pray for them, you need to come against all that. And I was teaching in the mission one time in Memphis, and I was teaching on soul ties, and this man, his body, he moved sideways a lot like a serpent. And he said to me, Miss Coffee, he said, "Why don't you pray for me and break all the soul ties?" And I said, "Okay, I will. You tell me." I said, "I'll break the soul ties between you and the women." He said, "I want you to break soul ties with the women he'd been with." I said, "Do you know who they are, the names?" "Oh, no." And I won't tell you how many he told me it probably was. It was so unreal. It was awful. But we ministered deliverance to him and did a lot of breakings. I told him, I said, "I broke all I know to break. You start breaking them. And any time a woman's face comes to your name, you go start breaking soul tie with her." So it really does, a lot to destruction, bringing destruction upon people. Spirit of destruction come in. All these things that transfer to the soul tie. Okay, now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23, and we're going to hit this. I want to share about three verses here. "He that is wounded in the stones or hath his privy members cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord." That's the sex change. God says they're not to have it. You know, people that are having sex changes today, you know, God made a mistake. They were supposed to be born a man or a woman. God don't make mistakes. And God says it's not to be. And you think what kind of curses they're bringing upon themselves and upon their families when they do this. You know, the sins of the fathers are visited to the children to the third and the fourth generation. Person commits adultery, that curse is gone to their kids, to their grandkids, to their great-grandkids, and their great-great-grandkids. See how far they curse them when they commit a sin like that? And then he says, the bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Child born outside of marriage. And even if they marry after they've conceived, that child is still under the curse of the bastard. See, if a child conceives outside of marriage, it's under the curse of the bastard. And it needs to be, that needs to be broken off. People seem to think, sometimes I've had them come to me and say, well, we got married, but I was pregnant when I got married. I said, well, your child's still under the curse of the bastard because it was conceived in an ungodly act that God did not ordain. And so that curse is a 10-generation curse. And that's not a backward curse. It's going forwards for 10 generations. You think about that. And think about all the children that have been born, you know, back when it was a fad for the little girls to get pregnant when they were 14, 15 years old. And I know of girls that got pregnant simply because their friend got pregnant. It was unreal what the kids were doing. And I think of the curses that they've placed on their children and their grandchildren. They don't know how, and no one tells them how to get rid of it. But see, I thank God that we know how to break curses because Jesus became a curse upon the cross for us. We can break those curses. And then it says, an Amorite and a Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And when I'm reading this, I go after the curse of incest. Now, this scripture tells us right here, down below, the fourth verse says that because they were not, they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, a Peor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Well, when we go into this and use this Amorite and Moabite as the curse of incest, go back over to Genesis chapter 19, and let's look at it. This is. I don't most of the time ever say anything about it being a Moabite or Amorite curse, because it is what I'm wanting you to see is the curse of incest that came in Genesis 19. If I can find it. Praise the Lord. There we go. And, my Bible, you know, we talk about the sin of incest with Lot and his two daughters. And Lot didn't instigate this. The daughters did. My Bible's got a heading on it that says, the sin of Lot's daughters. But when they had these children, you know, the older one, wasn't it the older one went in, got her father drunk. And verse 33 says, and they, chapter 19, verse 33, and they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and you go in unto him. So anyway, they both got pregnant with their father's seed. And the verse 37 says, verse 36 says, thus were both the children, daughters of Lot with child by their fathers. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The name of is the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the second said, the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ami, that is the father, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. And I wrote that what down, I had looked it up, and it says the Moabite, the one that was named Moab, the Moabite, it says through our father, having a child through the father. And the Amorite is the son of my kin. So this is where we get come against that curse from Deuteronomy 23, that it's an incest curse, and the two sons that were born through incest is where the Moabites and the Amorites come from. And so it's a you call it a Moabite curse. I don't use that when I usually when I'm sharing, I'm doing it now to show you what the Lord has shown me about it. That this is, we go back over to Genesis 19, where we know that this is where incest began, and it's an abomination to God. So you know, I told you yesterday about the paper that I got from Frank Hammond, and showed the children that were born under bestiality, that the mother and father were participating in bestiality, and I may get to that, I don't know, but those children were like animals. They drank out of a bowl on the floor, and they ate food out of a bowl on the floor, and their parents had been involved in bestiality. And today, we're going to see more of this with the kind of TV stuff up in TV. Internet stuff that we've got, you know, according to what I've heard about it, I have never seen, I don't have a computer in my house. Only when my daughter comes, she brings her. So, but, the thing is, we're going to see a lot more of it. And, we were talking about the stuffed animals and things yesterday. Did y'all get all that down when we were talking about that? About the, how the animals are, you know, that they can bring spirits into the house, and the dolls, and all of this. Well, let's see. We'll see what else we can get to today. I'm praying the Lord will bring all these things back to my memory that He had shared with me this morning when I was looking at these scriptures. But I want us to go from over into. Let me see. What's my next scripture? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. You know, I was talking about incest, and you never hear about it in the churches today. They're not teaching it, and they should. And it was in the church back in the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And look what Paul said to the Corinthian church, what they should do with the man that was in sin. And, you know, when we say something like this, people say, well, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be walking in love. Well, we are. We love them enough that we want to help them. We want them to give up their sin and change their real life. Because, you know, if you stop and think about it, if there's this going on in a church, I ministered to a pastor's wife one time in Memphis, and her husband was sleeping with one of his members, and I think had two kids by him. And here she is with her kids and him with his woman. And she came to me and she said, I had taught her on some incest when I ministered to her at a retreat. And she was telling me, she said, I followed my husband one night and I saw him go to this woman's house. But she was still living with him. And to me, she wanted to get make her home right, but how do you do this when all this mess is going on? He's got kids by this one, and then he's got his wife and his kids over here. And I said, only God can work that out. But what do you do? The kids are under all of these curses that their father is doing, all the things their father's doing, and yet they act like, and in fact, he was the preacher. He was a minister. And it was just so ungodly. You know, how do you minister to something like that? But let's see what Paul said about it, okay? It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. See, we're talking about incest yesterday, and who was... I had a little boy come to me yesterday afternoon and asked me about incest. And he said he had been married to, let's see if I can remember, his uncle's wife's, his father's brother's wife's child. I can't remember all the details of it. It wasn't blood relative, but it was still household. And he said, is that incest? I said, yes. The Bible tells us we're not to marry in the family. You know, that's incest. And I'll give you a scripture. That scripture, I think I found it. I think I've got it here. He said, and you're puffed up, Paul said, and have rather have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body and present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. I want to ask you something. Read that scripture. Go back and let me read it again. This verse 3. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit. What do you think of when you read that? Think, well, you know, he's thinking about us. No, I wonder about this scripture. How is he present in spirit if he's not there? You ever think about that? Think about it. See what the Lord shows you about. Okay, he says, for I verily as absent, now this is Paul talking to the Corinth church, for I verily as present in body, absent in body, he's not there, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. Paul said, I've judged this. So you can think, I want you to meditate on that and see what God will give you about it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we are gathered together with my spirit. Now listen to this. Now listen, hear it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said, deliver that one up to Satan. You know what? If we start doing that, what Paul instructed us through the word, I think we'd see a lot less of this going on. But what do? We keep walking away thinking God's going to work it out. You know, God's going to work it out. We pray that, we say that, and let me tell y'all something. God has already done all he's going to do through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, on the cross, it is finished. Now he's risen from the dead in Matthew 28, and he says, now you go and you do. Mark 16, he didn't say call on me and I'll do it. He said, you go do it. And he's telling us it's time we do something instead of sitting back saying, Lord, take care of it. Lord, do this. Y'all forgive me, but I get so mad sometimes. I got a lady in my church that I come at her just really hard, and I say, will you please stop that? God's already told you to go do it, so go do it and stop asking God to do it. You know what we do? We decide to do something and say, God bless it. We don't wait to see if God wants us to do it. I got another lady in my church. I'll just talk to you about my church. She just bugs me, and I have to really pray when I'm talking to her. Inside of me, I'm saying, God, don't let me get upset. Help me, Father. I know this is where I get the doors open with all this. Would you do so-and-so for my... I hope she never gets this tape. For my son. I said, yeah. Turn him loose! Oh, she gets so mad at me sometimes. She's gotten so mad at me, she flounced out of the church. And about 2 days later, she'll call me back. Well, the reason I got so mad, I knew you were right. But she still won't do it. So what I'm saying, Paul said, turn the person over, the man over to the devil. There's another scripture in there that says, turn him over to Satan, that the flesh would be destroyed, that the spirit might be, the soul might be saved. You see, these are the works of the flesh. And we don't obey God's word. We need to obey God's word. He wants us to be obedient to him. Huh? About binding and loosing. Well, yeah. But see, after you, what I see here, after the church has done all they know to do, but that church wasn't doing anything. When they pray and believe God and go, you know, the word says when they're not, you know, over in Matthew's gospel, I think it is, it says, if you see your brother, you go to him and tell him. And then if he won't hear you, you take two others with him and you go to him. Excuse me. If he doesn't hear you, then you take him before the church. And then if you still won't hear him, then you kick him out. That's my, you know, he's to be excommunicated. Mm-hmm. No, even if when Paul said turn him over to the devil, said his flesh would be destroyed, that his soul might be saved. You know, they continued to pray for the man. But the thing is, they need to. What I'm saying is, go to the man, say, if you don't straighten up, we're gonna turn you over to the devil. Scare the heck out of him. Excuse me. Scare him. Bring fear. You know, reason. Because if you will put some fear of God into that man, he may turn. But you know, they won't. Yes, so it's all of me. They said, we love you, brother, but you're not going to do this. If you don't straighten up and do what's right. Now, I know a church in my hometown did that with a man. They turned him over to the devil. They kicked him out of the church, and he felt like everybody deserted him, but didn't do a thing to help him. He still lived with the woman till she died. Then he came back to the church, and then he died. And people got mad because the pastor was being scriptural about it. And my point is that you wouldn't have to do that. It's like over in the Old Testament, it says when a son is rebellious and won't obey, stone him. Well, you wouldn't have stone but one. And you turn one person over, you know, and take your hand off of him. You know, we're talking about unforgiveness. And you know, if we don't forgive, you know, we bind ourselves and we stop God from working. So if we don't do something and at least reach out and try to show the person that God still loves them, but you got to straighten up, but we got to loosen them so God can work. If we keep babying them and, you know, looking the other way, so what we're doing, God can't work. You have to be careful, and God says not to bring it into your house and bring abominable things or cursed things into the house, because you become cursed like it.
What is the symbol of the dragonfly mean? I see it on
everything.
Clothes, on everything now. I picked up a pretty head start the other day, and the dragonflies all over it. I didn't get it.
Well, do you think maybe, I don't really know, but I would think it would be another way of getting something of the dragon in the house. Did anybody know anything about it? I don't know anything about it.
I have two or three places what the dragonfly represents. They can tell me, but I don't feel right about it.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the enemy, everything, you know, when we were praying for the senators and so forth, while I was on Glenn was praying, I was saying, Lord, every hidden thing, that let it be revealed. See, we need to pray that God will reveal things to us when we're going out shopping, and things that we won't be deceived. And we need to pray this over our government. And, you know, I said this yesterday, but we need to pray it over before this election. Because after they're elected, it's too late to, you know, we've already got them. So we need to pray. God said every hidden thing will be revealed. So let's pray that it will be. And so we won't waste God's money.
What about the symbols of branding, clothing, you know, like Nike, how they have their own
symbol? I haven't been on that in a while, but I know that there's something to it, but I just don't remember what it is. So, you know, the way I feel about stuff like that, it's a way to get a lot of money out of people, and the kids have got to have it, and it's a drawing thing in that area. I look at it kind of like the Cabbage Patch dolls. I knew from the very beginning something was wrong with those Cabbage Patch dolls when they made those things. They were ugly, and people were fighting over them in stores, you know, and getting them for their kids. And then we began to hear about different things that happened where people had those dolls. I don't remember where I read it. One of the books I'd gotten, I don't know whether I got here where it was, but this woman had one sitting in her kitchen on the counter. And the thing jumped off of when she was in there, and it jumped off the counter, and it evidently began to talk to her or something. I just don't remember the circumstances of it, but it was a picture of it being demonized. You know, we were talking yesterday about the cats and the dogs and, you know, the stuffed animals and things like that. Animals are used, some of the animals are used as chalices in the occult. I know for a fact that they have sent spirits in to those animals to spy on an individual and find out what's going on in there. We had this woman that came to our church that was a witch, and she came and brought two more. But she didn't bring the other two to the church. They were living with her. We were trying to help the woman, and we, long story, we rented a trailer and let her go in there. And when I went over there to found out she had these other two over there, and they had a ferret and a great big old dog. And that's where I began to learn that they were using them. And but we, you know, the things we don't, we're afraid to find out. We're afraid that, you know, we get into fear. But if we don't find out how the enemy is working around us, then we don't know how to fight him. You have to know, if you, you know, God's, the army that goes overseas, or our army, has to learn the tactics of the enemy. So God is trying to teach us the tactics of the enemy. We don't have to be fearful, but I know people that won't get rid of things, even though they know they should. They're, well, I'm not getting it. That costs too much. Man, I tell you, I don't know if the things we've destroyed. And you know what? God has blessed us, and you can't, if you're doing it because you don't want anything that can be used against you, or that's not of God, then God repays. He never leaves us and you know, hurting because of it. So just be careful what you bring into your house. Okay, I want to go to Leviticus. We're going to go on eating of the blood. I want to talk about that a little bit. Curses that come from eating the blood, eating fat, and the word says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. You say, well, I never ate anything. Did you ever eat a rare steak? Some people eat rare hamburgers that are just bloody. Chapter 17 of Leviticus in verse 10 says, whatsoever man that be of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourns among you, that eateth any man or blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among the people. The life of a person is in the blood. When you eat, and if you eat the blood of an animal, you're eating the animal's life. And I found out years ago, before I ever heard any teaching on the blood, I was doing deliverance on this woman. She was about 80 years old. She came with her daughter-in-law to a Bible study I was having in my home. And we study the Bible and study scripture, and then we get into deliverance. You know, just normal thing. And so she said, I want you to, I don't remember how we got, we were ministering to someone. I just don't remember who it was. Well, God said, she said, I want y'all pray for me. She said, I said, what for? And she said, because, you know, I didn't know what she knew, and I didn't know, you know, about the Lord. And she was a little hesitant to pray for somebody that, excuse me, didn't know, really know anything about him. So she said, I want you to pray for me. I said, my husband, all of our married life, I've had to make him blood pudding. And I'd never heard of a blood pudding. And she said, and he loves blood sausage. And I thought, my word, who would eat something like that, you know? And she said, of course, if I did the cooking of it, I ate it too, and her kids did. So she said, would you pray for me? So we started praying for her. And all I didn't know, you know, I had never heard of being I read that scripture, but never thought about anybody eating it. I didn't know how to break curses off of her at that time. But we ministered deliverance to that woman, and she had on some of these pull-ups, flats with elastic in them, and a shirt over the top of them. And when she left, she was holding her pants on her. She had, doing that deliverance, her stomach had gone down, and she had lost weight. And so I knew, even before I found out about it, that something was really wrong with it. I knew people that ate rare steaks. I didn't, but I knew people that did. And then I began to think about it, and then when I began to hear what happens when you eat the blood, then you bring curses on yourself. Go back and look at high blood pressure, heart problems, blood cancer of the blood. Could they all stem from eating of the blood? Just think about it. It sounds like it could. So we need to break those curses. He said, for the life of the flesh, verse 11, is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And then over in Leviticus chapter 3, it says it'll be a perpetual curse, perpetual law. Let me go to Leviticus chapter 3 and read that. So we bring curses upon ourselves so many times with things that we do that we don't even know that it's working that way. It shall be a perpetual curse, a statute for your generation, statute of the law, throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. And my father used to eat fat. He liked fatback, hot from pig. You know I'm going to the pork, so if I'm talking about the fat. But my my father did. He would, I tell you. I couldn't stand it. Even as a child, and I see him eat it, I just couldn't believe it. But anyways, we're not a person that belongs to God. The blood is used as a sacrifice, and the fat was also burnt. And so God says we're not to eat that. You know, I'm not going to go into all the other things with the blood, like, you know, that we're bought with the blood, we're covered with the blood, we're sanctified by the blood, and we're cleansed by the blood. But if you are any member, in fact, we'll break the curse of it, because we know that everybody, even though you've never done it, you don't know what your forefathers have done. So we'll break that curse. So when I go to do deliverance, don't let me forget it. I think I've got it listed over here, but just in case. Okay, let's go over to Isaiah 65. I said it talked about the fat. My father ate pork. My father made sausage. But in chapter 65 of Isaiah, in verse 15, it says, "For behold, the Lord." Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong. I'm going there, but I need to do 65 first. In 65 verse 2, it says, "I have spread out my hands." God's talking here. He says, "I spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people who provoketh me to anger continuously to my face, that sacrificed in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick." Someone asked me what was wrong with incense yesterday. Remember? Here we go. And he says, which remain among the graves and lodges in the mountain, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessel. So here we see that God says that swine's flesh, which is pig, hog, bacon, ham, all this stuff, to show you really, if people say, well, that's the Old Testament. Let me see. There's one over in Acts that talks about it too. But listen, Jesus, when he cast the spirits out of the demonic man, the spirits went into the hogs, and all those hogs were drowned. You know, the spirits drove them into the river and the water, and they drowned. Even that would show you that God, the reason that those spirits went in there, they were an abomination to the Jewish people back then for them to have them, and yet they were raising them. And pork causes trigonosis, and it causes, we don't know, high blood pressure. We don't know. My son has had a gout, and the doctor took him off of all white meat, and he doesn't eat very much meat at all now. When I was telling him that it was an unclean thing, I give you scripture says where God says it's unclean. He said, "I don't doubt it, Mother. Everybody loves it, and everybody's sick. You know, got different things." But anyways, let's look at chapter 66, for there's another scripture here. And verse 15 says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." And then he said, they sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree, in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination, and the mouth shall be consumed together with the Lord. Can you believe that? God's word says it's an abomination. Said, now they're out behind the are hiding, and they're doing these things that they don't know that God, believe God's going to see them. See, you don't get away with anything. God sees everything. And sometimes I think we, like children, we think, well, you know, God won't see this. I know we don't, but, well, you know, we shouldn't anyways. But anyways, here he's talking about that it's an abomination eating the swine's flesh. Now let's go over to Leviticus chapter 11. Now, let's see what God said about it. In verse 7. He said, "The swine." Well, let me back up to. No, he's talking about unclean things. I'm not going back all the way up. I'm going to go on. In verse 7, he says, "And the swine, though he divided the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the water. Whatsoever hath ever has fins and scales in the water, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat." Shrimp. I got a son that likes it, and he knows better. Catfish is a scavenger, and they're unclean. And all that have not fins and scales in the sea and in the rivers of all that moves in the waters and of all any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you. They shall be even an abomination to you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever has no fins nor scales in the water, that shall be an abomination to you. All this whole chapter talks about things that are clean and unclean, and things that God says we can eat, and things He says we're not to eat. And yet we know that, you know, I knew it for years. I had heard it, but I thought, well, you know, I didn't eat a lot of meat anyways, so I didn't really care. But one day God convicted me. He really convicted me, and I repented. I said, "Lord, forgive me. I can't even say I didn't do it. I did it because I didn't know, because I did know." You see, when we know what God's Word says, and we do it anyways, then we don't have an excuse, do we?
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.